Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Cleveland Sports Beat Podcast with James Rapine and Daryl Ryder on 92.3thefan.com.
What up and welcome into another edition of the Cleveland Sports Beat Podcast. We are your beat writers. I'm James Rapine. He is Daryl Ryder. We do this every single week to give you the latest Cleveland sports news. A ton on tap today, including Francisco Lindor's future in Cleveland, Manny Machado's record-setting deal that Daryl Ryder loves, and more. A quick reminder that you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and every single podcast posted at 92.3thefan.com. And while you're on iTunes, feel free to leave us a rating. We'd love a five-star rating because it helps more Cleveland sports fans find this podcast. I know you have friends that are Browns fans or Indians fans or Cavs fans, maybe all three. Let them know about our new podcast here at 92.3 The Fan. Daryl, we have a ton to get to. Let's dive into it, and let's start with what happened yesterday. We're recording this on a Wednesday. Tuesday, Manny Machado agrees to a 10-year, $300 million deal. Instantly, as an Indians fan, you think about Francisco Lindor, you think about his future. He's under contract through 2021, and it seems inevitable that the Indians aren't going to be able to keep Francisco Lindor. And I think you agree with that. I think the majority of Cleveland agrees with that. I, on the other hand, think there is a path. I'm not saying it's likely, but I think there's a path where Francisco Lindor ends up here past 2021. But first off, me saying that alone, that the Indians could keep Lindor past his expiration date or past the next 3 years of arbitration. False, fair, crazy. How insane am I for saying that statement?
Pretty insane. I mean, I could win the lottery too. I mean, anything.
Oh, come on. It's not that crazy.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not.
It is. I mean, the amount of dollars right now that are being involved in Major League Baseball, like it's becoming obscene. Like how much money is enough money? You're talking $30 million a year. Congratulations, San Diego Padres. You won't win anything, but at least just, you know, you're spending money on your payroll now is, I think, $100 million. Like that got them to the $100 million threshold. So congratulations to the San Diego Padres. You will win jack crap for the next 10 years. But hey,
I don't know if that's true, by the way, but keep going.
You spent $30 million over the next 10 years on a guy. Granted, there's a 5-year opt-out, so he can go and try and make even more money at some point. The 10-year contract is obscene. The amount of money per year is obscene. I mean, you have NFL players that can't get $30 million in guaranteed money, let alone $30 million per year in Major League Baseball. I don't see a way for the Indians to keep Francisco Lindor. I think it's the bleeping lousy way about Major League Baseball right now in the economics of the game. Lindor will play for Boston, New York, or Philadelphia. There's, you know, three, maybe four teams that can afford him, and I don't think that the Indians are among those teams. And it's not the Indians' fault. I'm not criticizing the Indians. I'm not blaming the Indians. I blame the system and the way everything is set up. But we're getting to a point now, because guess what? Bryce Harper now is going to want 31 or 32 or 33 or 34 or 35 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
Although I think it'd be hilarious if he just signed for $301 million over 10 years.
Yeah, just to one up him. Yeah.
Yeah. To top it by. But yeah, the old Price is Right trick. But I think that we're getting to a point with the dollars that are involved. You know, I remember when a guy making $10 million a year, like that was,
You got to get with the times, Daryl.
When I was growing up,
I remember when pixie sticks were a penny too at the local store.
Yeah,
down the street
I remember when gas was 89 cents a gallon. Yeah, but
you used to be able to use a payphone for a quarter. Times are a changing.
Actually, I think we have a payphone in this studio. As a matter of fact,
that's older than it. That's a rotary phone. No, it's not. Yeah, but it's
not
close.
An odor. It's
no,
not. It's but not. It could be.
It's one of those phones that you saw in churches. Growing up. Like, I feel like every church had one of these phones.
But I can't get over the amount of money that's involved right now. I can't fathom $30, let alone $30 million or $300 million over 10 years.
Can I paint the path for an a contract to happen? Lindor staying here long-term.
Yeah, Corey Kluber's, the entire starting pitching rotation will be gone because
Corey
they
Kluber
won't be able to
afford
anyone.
Corey Kluber might be retired by the time. I'm serious. Like, 3 years from now is a long time. Like, we all talk about, LeBron James. LeBron was here for 4 years after he came back from Miami.
I have the path for the Indians to be able to keep Francisco Lindor.
You're going to say something sarcastic, but I think it's real.
No, the Dolans sell the team to a billionaire.
No. I mean, sure. Yeah. That's a possibility.
And again,
I get there.
I want to make it very clear. I'm not criticizing the Cleveland Indians. Mm-hmm. I'm not making fun of them. I'm not ripping the Dolans. I'm not criticizing them. They operate the baseball team in their best interests within their means. They're not billionaires, and that's unfortunate because that's really what you need right now to operate Major League Baseball clubs at the level that they are at, which is trying to win a World Series. Like, you know, we had the conversation a couple weeks ago about my frustration with them not being able to get over the hump right now to win a World Series because they have maximized their financial resources and they've tapped out as far as their comfortability level. Yes, it is their fault, but I don't blame them for trying to
live. You blame the system.
With it, right. They're trying to live and operate the franchise within their means. And so it's hard for me to criticize them for that. And when you're spending over $100 million on your payroll, I can't go with the old, it's the Dolan's discount cliche. Because the last couple of years, especially since 2016, they have been all in financially. They have made moves. The Andrew Miller trade cost them money. They made moves last year that cost them money to try and get themselves into a position where they can compete for a World Series. So I can't criticize them for that. But the reality is, and nothing against you, but I think you're living in fantasy land.
You didn't even hear my idea yet. You're just talking and giving the Indians credit, and I'm not even willing to do that yet.
If you think that they can afford to spend $30 million on one player.
True or false, or yes or no? Yes or no question. And then just a yes or no. Do you think the Indians are a well-run organization?
Yes.
Okay, so I think they're smart enough, and I'm willing to give them enough credit. And when you look at what the Padres done, it's real easy to say, oh, they're going to suck for a really long time, but they have all these high-end prospects coming up.
Which, by the way, the Indians don't have right now.
Fernando Tatis Jr. Sure, they don't have it this moment.
Right.
But what did the Indians start to do over this past offseason? They started to get younger. They started to shed some salary. They brought in a Jake Bowers. They're going to continue to get younger. Trevor Bauer in that long Sports Illustrated piece, which we'll get into some of that. Guess what he said? Oh, they're going to trade me in December. They probably are going to trade him this December. They are probably going to trade Corey Kluber sooner rather than later. Maybe after this year. And in 2022, which would be the first year of a Lindor extension, they have $12 million total on the books. It's just Carrasco's deal. It's just that extension. Yeah. Nothing else. So to me, if you start to get young, controllable talent in the outfield, which is certainly what they're trying to do with Greg Allen, they're certainly what they're trying to do with some of these guys, they would have Jose Ramirez. He has an option for 2022, and there's one more option in there. I forget who it is, but there's one more like $7 million option that they could decline. It's a club option. Their books are clear. So if they're well run, and assuming that the reason they're starting to shed salary is because they're going to retool the way the organization is, which they want to compete this year, but they want to compete in the future. I don't see a scenario where you can just assume that you're going to replace Corey Kluber with another great pitcher, where you're going to replace Trevor Bauer with another and just have a great rotation for the next decade, even though you move on from those guys. So I think they're going to have to retool where their strengths and weaknesses are. Maybe the rotation isn't as good. but maybe they have this high-flying, young, controllable outfield with a Francisco Lindor, who's one of the best players in the game, and they can do that. Like, I think there's a chance. Now, will they have to stretch the budget more than they are this year? Yes, but maybe they're ramping up to that. Maybe all of these moves that they're doing is to get younger on the fly, so then not only can they compete and show Frankie that they want to win now, but really compete for him a year, 2 years from now, when they really seriously go after him. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to sign him to this $400 million. And I've heard numbers all crazy, $400 million. I don't think he's going to get $400 million.
Well, I got news for you, though. There's this little thing called inflation. And this is the problem with Major League Baseball right now, is these contracts are really out of control. They're out of control from a length standpoint, and they're also out of control from an annual dollars standpoint. So, that being said,
the Indians could pay Lindor $30 million a year.
But here's the thing. Frankie's not going to get $30 million in 2020.
I don't think he's getting $40 million.
He's getting $35 million. Like, maybe. That, my point
but
is
that,
it's going up.
Is that
it's
five
going
the difference?
Up. Yeah, it's
way.
Going. But
if you could pay $30 million, you could do $35 million.
His agent is going to want $35 million over 10 because the bar keeps getting reset.
I don't know that.
Bryce Harper is probably going to reset the bar again, assuming he
sure.
signs it. It looks like it's going to be Philadelphia. That's what everyone seems to be talking about. My point is the bar is constantly being reset.
I get it.
For the largest contract. And Frankie is in line to be the player at that given time to set the bar. That's why his agent won't do a contract with the Indians right now. They won't allow him to buy 1 or 2 years of that free agency.
Well, sure.
While also giving the high, because
he shouldn't sign a deal now. That would be financially dumb.
Right. I mean,
totally get it.
Last year he went from making $800,000-$900,000 a year to now he's above $10 million.
Yeah, he's $10.55 million this
right.
year.
Right.
And he's got arbitration the next 2 years.
And then next year that $10 million is probably gonna become $15 million.
Mm-hmm.
And then the final year of arbitration is probably gonna go from $15 million to $18 million to $20 million.
And
so,
that's the year. That's the target year. That
right.
final year is where I would go after.
And I understand, but again, my point is that if you're the Indians, you're in such a delicate spot. I go all the way back to, I think it was Kerry Wood. I remember when they signed him for like $10 million, mm-hmm. and that was like a huge, huge deal at the time for the Indians. Like they're not accustomed to spending that kind of money.
Sure.
Then they extended Travis Hafner. I forget the dollars, but it was an average of over $10 million per year. And Hafner got hurt. And it was ultimately the beginning of the end of his career. And that contract was like a noose around the franchise's neck because it paralyzed them. Okay?
Yeah.
And again, I'm not criticizing the Indians. This is just what the market allows them to do. I'm also not doing the pity party. It ain't my money. I don't care. As a fan, I want you to win. The only thing I care about is you winning World Series. I don't give a crap about your division titles. I don't care about making it to October. The only thing I care about now, between now and Frankie Lindor's contract, or in this case, his arbitration years being up after 2021, the only thing that I care about is them winning the World Series. And from my standpoint, the clock is ticking. They're down to 2, maybe 3 years, depending if they give Lindor the boot at the trade deadline to try and retool their team. I don't see fiscally, knowing how the Indians run their organization, okay, I don't see fiscally how it makes sense for them, no matter how great a player that Francisco Lindor is. And again, this is what sucks about Major League Baseball. There's a lot of things that suck about Major League Baseball right now, but this is one of them, is that he's I don't want to say he's a generational talent because I think that might be taken a little bit too far.
He might be.
But he might be.
He might be. The next few years are going to tell us whether or not he is.
Right. He might be. He has Hall of Fame potential in him, okay? And I don't see how the Indians can afford to spend $30 to $40 million a year on if it's a 3-year contract, you
it
can do it.
It won't be 40.
I'm just saying, if it's a 3-year contract, you might be able to do it. I mean, listen, they couldn't get themselves through the Edwin Encarnacion deal.
Edwin Encarnacion's not even that good.
I get it.
His numbers are okay.
You're missing the point. The point is they signed the guy for 4 years, $80 million. They got through 2 years of it, and it was smart to get out of it. I'm not criticizing them for getting out of it, but it reinforces my point about the fragility of their financial outlook.
Sure.
And the fact that they realized, to your point, that, okay, he's not worth $20 million a year to us now. We have to get out of that, all right?
Mm-hmm.
That was a four-year, $80 million deal.
But he's not worth it anyway.
Again, I'm not arguing the merits of the player.
Sure.
I'm arguing the merits of the contract and their reaction to it because the perform. So here's the thing. What happens if you sign Francisco Lindor to, let's use your figure, let's say it's $35 million because we're going to add the inflation.
Ten years, $350 million.
First of all, they can't do a 10-year deal. There's no way the Cleveland Indians can do a 10-year deal.
Because here's the other thing with Lindor. He'll be 28. When he gets up right in his free agent,
so
not 26 like Mattel.
So if you do eight last year, the contract, he'd be 36, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is my math? I'm terrible with math. Okay,
no,
so there
we
go.
That's right.
Fine. I 8 years at $35 million. That's the most that the Cleveland Indians can afford to do is do 5 years at 30, and that's not going to cut it. His agent's going to push for his. Again, this isn't a frame. I watched his press availability the other day from Goodyear, and just you could tell.
And you can listen to his quotes, watch his quotes at 92.3thefan.com.
Excellent, shameless shill there. You could tell he wants to stay, but he also recognizes his value, and he's not going to stay for below his value.
And he shouldn't.
No, again, I'm not advocating for that.
Yeah.
My point is that his value is going to be such to where the Indians can't afford to keep him. They can't. If you're paralyzed and freak out 2 years into a four-year $80 million contract, what happens? And again, I'm not trying to go negative here, but these are things that if I'm the general manager of the Cleveland Indians,
I'm going to counter you.
Remember, my job is the best interest of the Cleveland Indians fiscally, okay, as the GM.
Totally get it.
If he gets hurt, I'll even give you 4 years. We get four all-star years out of Frankie Lindor,
mm-hmm.
okay? And he puts up the MVP caliber numbers that we think he'll put up.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you that.
So now it's four out of eight.
What? And then you get to year five,
mm-hmm.
and something happens. And you're still on the hook for another 4 to 5 years at $35
million. Mm-hmm.
And because of the injury, now the performance declines. And now all of a sudden you're back in an Edwin Encarnacion situation.
So let's talk about it.
You're on the hook for tens of millions of dollars a year for one player who is... Again, I'm just...
You're operating out of fear.
No, I'm...
what that is.
I'm trying to be objective in looking at the situation, and it sucks for the Indians that they can't afford, because if something happens to him, it goes back to the Edwin thing and getting out of that contract. It goes back to Travis Hafner and the big contract there.
I don't care.
But that's irrelevant, though.
It absolutely matters. Sure, they're on a budget. They have a certain amount that they're willing to spend, and if they pay Lindor $35 million per, they're going to have to go above that. But the point is what if all of this retooling is to build around him? And to pretend that 31 or 32-year-old, and he would be 32 of 4 years into that deal, coming off of an MVP year or a three-time All-Star, pretending like Lindor couldn't be traded. I've watched Matt Kemp get dealt like 32 times,
okay.
And he's an awful deal. I mean, to me, and here's the other thing, and I saw this in Cincinnati, and maybe this is why I'm so optimistic.
So you think dumping him to the Yankees is like the backup plan?
It can be when you sign a deal like that.
All right.
It can be. But here's what you have to ask yourself, and we'll see it over the next couple of years. Is Francisco Lindor one of those guys? Is he LeBron? Like, is he your guy that is going to do everything he can, bust his ass, do everything he can to stay on the field, give it everything he's got, do everything he can to be the best baseball player he can be? Because the Reds, as much as they've struggled in Cincinnati,
right.
Joey Votto's contract has nothing to do with that. But people look at that, and I've seen it on national media, and say, oh, my God, Votto's deal was ridiculous, and it's hurt the Reds. No, it hasn't. They've been awful everywhere else. They held on too long to their Corey Kluber. They held on too long to their Trevor Bauer. If the Indians are preparing to retool their organization around a bunch of young players, around Clevinger, around some of these pitchers, but get much younger, trade Kluber and Bauer for prospects, and really retool on the fly.
If they have to retool they can
do that, and they can keep Frankie. I'm serious. They can. Now, we can say, oh, there's no chance, and he's just going to go sign with the Yankees. But look at who signed Manny Machado this week.
Padres.
The Padres. All right? So don't tell me it can't be done. And by the way, how can the Padres do that? Because they have a bunch of minor leaguers that they think are going to come up and play at a high level, including Fernando Tatis Jr., when Manny Machado's still in his prime. That's how you have to do it if you're a small market team or a team that is on a balling on a budget. The Indians can do it, though.
By the way, if they have to retool this thing with younger players without winning a World Series, this will be attempt number. Let's see.
Odds are they're gonna have to do it. Yeah. I'm telling you now. Look at their outfield this year.
Oh, their outfield's embarrassingly awful. They might as well throw me out there.
I am available, Indians, if you want to. I could play some pretty good defense.
Good
Not going to be able to hit for you at the major league level, though. To me, it really is possible. And I get all these people, and I think it was like 80%. I put out a poll at James Rapine on Twitter. There's another plug. What are the odds the Indians re-sign? Yes or no? Do you think they're going to? And it was like 80% no.
Here's the other problem that the Indians have right now is that people like myself, I'm just objectively looking at the situation, and I don't see where it makes sense. I don't see where
you
it's
don't think
feasible.
It makes sense.
I just to spend that kind of money on one guy when you're a small market team, I think is pure insanity. I think you're setting yourself up for failure.
Do you think Francisco Lindor is talented enough? And we'll get more answers over the next...
Talent
and work ethic, it absolutely does.
No.
Absolutely it does. Edwin Encarnacion's chubby. Francisco Lindor, did you see him?
He's in shape.
He is. I saw him in Cincinnati before anyone knew who the hell Edwin Encarnacion was. Back in 09. Or 08, rather.
He's chubby.
There's a reason he's a DH and a first baseman.
So is Babe Ruth. Yeah,
fine. And he's not the guy I'm investing 10 years in.
I know.
But I watched 41-year-old Tom Brady still dominate in the league. Your guy, Drew Brees. I'm watching LeBron James at 34 look like he's 28 most nights, especially in the playoffs when he really turns it on.
I don't know. Someone said yesterday that he's tired and
he pulled his groin. He's still recovering from that injury. But the point is,
someone said he was fat at All-Star Weekend.
Is we're watching these superstars, like the high-end players, play longer than ever and more effective than ever. And there are so many different ways that they can modify their game. So if you're the Indians, you have the next 2 years, because I think you would have to get a deal done before that last year.
It's not going to happen.
That's fine. Everyone can say that.
The agent is going to wait until he hits true free agency.
That's fine, but if you... Here's the thing.
Because if he signs earlier, it becomes a discounted deal. I'm just telling you, like if they signed him today, okay, for let's say $350 million over 10 years. If they signed him today,
Lindor would do it right now.
I don't think his agent would do it. I don't think his agent would do
because
it.
Because a lot can happen to hurt his value in the next couple
I
of
understand.
Years.
I think his agent wants him to has told him. Let's wait until, because you're at the point of no return right now. Mm-hmm. Signing an extension right now makes no sense from Lindor's point of view because, again, you're giving the Indians a discount. So you play out your next 2-3 years of, because it's three seasons of arbitration.
Including this year.
So this is the first season of arbitration. Second year's in 2020, and then 2021 is the third and final year of arbitration, meaning in 2022 he's a free agent. His agent wants to get him to 2022.
Sure.
The Indians missed the boat. And again, it's not even fair for me to say that they've missed the boat, but they should have. And from what I understand, they tried. A year or two earlier, getting Frankie, because this is what has helped them, is what, and I think we
talked buying
about
the arbitration
they
years.
Not only do they buy the arbitration years out for more dollars than they project that they would the player would get in arbitration, but the, in exchange for doing that, they also buy like the first 2 years of free agency from you.
And if I'm Lindor, I would never do that.
Right, and the agent said, we're not doing that because then that pushes his free agency to 2024. And to your point, a lot can happen between now and it would cost him hundreds of millions of dollars. So that being said, the agent is going to have him wait until he becomes a free agent.
And he should.
There's no contract to be signed now other than just going through this arbitration thing. And when it comes time, inflation is going to kick this up between 35 and 40 freaking million.
I will bet you. What do you want to bet? It's not 40.
Well, I'm not betting anything.
I'll bet you. I'll bet you 40 million. It's not 40.
It wouldn't shock me.
I'm just letting you know now. It's not going to be 40.
But that's where these numbers go. I remember 10 million was a lot in Major League Baseball. Hell, I remember when a guy signed for $1 million, like that was newsworthy.
It just means you're old, Daryl.
No, we're throwing out like it's just. $30 million. Like
it's a lot of money.
$30 million is like that.
And that's why the Indians are, to me, in a spot where they're already retooling, they're lessening their payroll, and they get a chance to evaluate and look at Lindor's work ethic, how he is in the clubhouse, and see if he is worth it.
There are
players in baseball that are worth it.
I don't think there's any question.
Bryce Harper isn't worth it.
There's no question.
You can argue Manny Machado isn't worth it.
I don't think the Indians have anything to evaluate with Frankie Lindor.
So, okay.
I have no question about him.
And he's that great, and you want a statue of him outside of Progressive Field, and you want him in the Hall of Fame one day with an Indians cap on. You know what you do? You shed payroll like they've done this offseason. You continue to stay competitive. You use Kluber. You use Bauer. You use some of those older assets. Even Ramirez maybe in a year or two because he's only under contract. There's a club option for 2022. So who knows? Depends on him.
How much does it cost to get into Fantasyland? Because I'm enjoying this.
But that's what a smart team would do.
It looks like that's what they're doing.
Lindor is that great.
And they're doing it in the hopes that they're going to keep Frankie, which, again, I don't think they're going to keep him. And also at the same time, they're not going to win a World Series, and I'm going to be mad.
No one has pushed back on how great he is. Everyone feels the same way you do. I haven't mentioned
if they win
since
a World
I got
Series
here,
in the next
no
3 years, Frankie
can leave.
Just like LeBron with the Cavs. Once you win the championship, God bless you. Go make all your money. Go do your thing. That's all I'm
but
about
I think
right now.
I think this offseason is we know we can't win. We know Houston's better. We know some of these teams in the American League are better. So we have to retool. We have to get cheaper now. And it might all be because of a long-term plan, a well-run organization, an organization, a general manager, a president, an ownership group that knows what fans are saying, is tired of that, and understands that if they do it right, they can keep this guy who is a potential generation talent, a guy who they can market for the next decade right here in Cleveland, who wants to be here. I think it's a possibility, and people, including you, think I'm crazy. And
I do, because I don't think it makes sense.
I think it could happen.
I'm not trying to run Frankie out of town. I'm being realistic about it. Major League Baseball needs Frankie Lindor to stay in Cleveland. Major League Baseball needed Manny Machado to stay with the Baltimore Orioles, okay? Just the system isn't allowing it, and it's unfortunate. And
so he went to the Padres.
The fact of the matter is, and this again, Major League Baseball screws this up. NFL and NBA free agency, there's always action immediately. Okay, Machado needed to sign 2 months ago. Bryce Harper needed to sign 2 months. Like the winter meetings in December, that needs to be like that's when this stuff needs to happen. So that you generate that off-season news cycle instead of now this whole where you're a week or two into spring training and your stars are just now signing their free agent contracts. There's so many things screwed up with Major League Baseball. We don't have time to get into it.
Mm-hmm.
We can get into it in some other podcasts, but I do think that is, having your stars spread out around the league is so good for the league. The problem for Indian fans right now is they can't buy into Frankie Lindor because they're like they feel the way I do, that he's as good as gone in a couple years.
Yeah.
So you can't really embrace and get behind a guy no matter how good he is, because it's like, well, you feel like he's already got one foot out the door. It's not his fault. It's not the fans' fault for feeling that way. But that's kind of the reality. The only way you feel like you can go all in and get behind a dude is to your point, if he signs that mega contract, which, by the way, he ain't signing until 2021, 2022.
That's fine. And I get that. And to me, that's why if you're the Indians, you do what you're doing now. They're going to get ripped. Maybe they'll continue to get ripped if they trade a Kluber at the deadline or trade Kluber next year.
If it makes them a better baseball team,
but
allows them to, because
they can't win now. They're not going to win the American League. They're not going to a World Series this year.
But I'm of the believer that you can get better and position yourself as the season goes along.
Sure,
try and win a World Series.
They might
this
be
year.
More competitive than people
like,
are assuming.
Right, my whole point is a World I Series. Know that I have Frankie Lindor now. I know I have Jose Ramirez now. I know that I've got I think I read like six of the top 100 major leaguers right now on my roster.
Mm-hmm.
I got to go for it now because here's my thing. You got to go for it. You got to go for it now because you have the core pieces.
They did.
I understand that.
They went for it.
And it didn't work, but you still between. You got to do it this year in 2019. You got to do it in 2020. You got to do it in 2021. You have to be all in right now to try and win, because if you don't keep Francisco Lindor, if your plan doesn't work, mm-hmm. the whole retooling with all the younger kids and getting Frankie to stay for the big cut, if that doesn't work, you're done.
Sure, but flip it. Flip it now. Like, to me, it's the other way. We know we can't do it. We know we can't go for it because we're not good enough now. We already went for it, and we're not.
It's not that we're not good enough. We just don't have the financial resources.
No, like, we're not good enough from a talent standpoint, roster-wise. And we have to cut budget.
But
why?
Because we don't have the money to go in.
Because we're going to keep Lindor long-term. Ugh. And that's where we will break. He's Daryl Ryder. I'm James Erpine. Up next, Daryl wants to talk about dating. Tristan Thompson.
Well, we're going to talk about dating Tristan Thompson.
Trevor Bauer and more. We'll do that next on the Cleveland Sports Beat Podcast.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back into the Cleveland Sports Beat Podcast. I'm James Erpine. He is Daryl Ryder. We are your beat writers for 92.3 The Fan and 92.3thefan.com. All right, Daryl, you texted me last night. You said, I want to talk about Tristan Thompson's dating life. And I felt like maybe you'd watched a little bit too much Entertainment Tonight. But we can do that. We can talk
about zero.
A little Tristan.
I watch zero reality television.
I don't know about that.
I give zero bleeps about the Kardashians.
You might love them.
I find them extremely annoying.
Have you seen Courtney at a game yet at the Cube?
Unfortunately, I have.
Is she hot?
No. I've seen much better. I can't deal with the implants and all that stuff. I can't deal with a manufactured woman out of the operating room. I just can't deal with it. And
it's harsh.
I don't think that there's... Well, I have to watch what I say.
That's harsh. You better not let Tristan hear you say that. It's his girl. Or isn't it? So apparently he cheated on her? I mean, is that, come on, you're the guy.
I guess. I don't know. I wasn't there. I don't know. I don't do the TMZ thing. Here's my thing.
TMZ is the one who reported it. Basically, he allegedly, potentially cheated on her.
And
they're split up.
I don't know how you can have a legitimate, honest relationship with somebody if you're followed around by TMZ and reality TV cameras all the time. I don't know how you can have that genuine connection with somebody. Secondly, Tristan cheated on baby mama number one. Which Kardashian is he dating?
Courtney.
Was dating. Okay, so Tristan cheated on baby mama number one with the Kardashian.
Mm-hmm.
Had baby number two, so Kardashian becomes baby mama number two, and he cheats on her, allegedly, I want to be very clear, allegedly cheats on her with this third person.
Mm-hmm. Who's apparently Kim's friend's friend or something, I don't know. Yeah, so has some kind of ties with the Kardashian.
Whatever.
Yeah.
First of all, I'm not surprised based on what happened. Like, I find the whole celebrity romance reality TV stuff to be ridiculous. Like, women complain about guys that date multiple women at the same time when they're doing the same thing, and their favorite TV show to watch is about a dude dating 30 women. Like, I find it completely amusing.
Yeah.
It really is. And dating today is so sanitary as it is. It's bad.
Tristan Thompson, and there are so many stories about
it. We don't need to get into any, like, because I'm of the belief, and we're going to talk about Trevor Bauer's dating rules too. We got to touch on that.
We're about to do it right now.
Yeah, I'm a believer that players' personal lives are their personal lives. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know where some bodies are buried when it comes to some athletes in Cleveland and former athletes in Cleveland, but it's none of my business and it's not the public's business. As long, you know, they ain't breaking the law. If you want to cheat on your girl, you cheat on your girl. That's on you. That ain't on me to, mm-hmm. you know, to broadcast it to the world. But, you know, the whole celebrity, I don't do the celebrity love BS that you see on reality television mm-hmm. these days. And so many women and even guys, like they watch and consume that. And that's what reality is supposed to be. I mean, I've gone on dates where, like, first date, I was, where are you taking me for the second date? I'm like, oh, we can go. No. I mean, like, where are you taking me in the world for a second date?
No.
Yes. I'm not taking you anywhere. I barely.
Who do you date?
I barely know you. Why would, like, we could be here for hours, me telling you horror stories of what it's like to try and date right now.
Think of one that you can tell, and I'm going to do these Trevor Bauer rules.
By the way, the Trevor Bauer rules, bravo. I give him credit for being honest.
Well, that's the thing, is to me, and I'll read them real quick, but think about that story. I want one story that you can tell.
The worst. Oh, God.
So just think about it. But here's
Trevor
Bauer's
rules. I might have to do a brief top three because I don't think I could come up with just like the number one all-time worst.
That's fine. We'll get to those. So Sports Illustrated's Ben Ryder does a really good profile of Trevor Bauer. And he gives three rules Trevor Bauer does for dating. And I'm going to read it word for word here. He says,
and I'm going to eat a donut while you do it.
One, no feelings. As soon as I sense you're developing feelings, I'm going to cut it off because I'm not interested in a relationship and I'm emotionally unavailable.
Translation, I just want a booty call. Go ahead.
Two, no social media posts about me while we're together because private life stays private.
100% three, agree with that.
I sleep with other people. I'm going to continue to sleep with other people. If you're not okay with that, we won't sleep together, and that's perfectly fine. We can just be perfectly polite, platonic friends.
Honesty is the best policy.
Here's the thing with this. People get offended, but...
No, but people
get offended, but here's the difference. Is at least Bauer's being honest up front.
You wonder why people are offended.
Hold on. And he's avoiding the Tristan Thompson thing. He's avoiding having all these skeletons in his closet.
Right.
Because you can always... 40-year-old Trevor Bauer, and I'll praise Derek Jeter for this, who dated all these different women. Never got married, by the way. Why? Because he wanted to give them gift baskets at the end. Like, that's known. That was talked about. Like, Google it. Derek Jeter was a star in New York. He knew that he would not be able to get married and honor that commitment. So you know what? He waited to do it. And no one should get married until they're willing to, guess what? Honor their partner. Be willing to go all in. And if you're not, Trevor Bauer says he wants a family one day, not now, isn't willing to do that, is emotionally unavailable, is focused on baseball. He does that in, honestly, if more athletes were like this, we'd avoid, hell, TMZ might shut down because they need these stories.
Here,
and it avoids all of them.
One of the greatest things ESPN ever did. They don't do many great things, but this is one of the greatest things they ever did, was the Derek Jeter starting nine.
Mm-hmm.
In left field, Mariah Carey. Center field, Jessica Alba. Right field, Jessica Biel. Third base, Vanessa Manillo. Shortstop is Scarlett Johansson. Great choice for shortstop, by the way. Adriana Lima or Lima? I'm not hip.
We're
going
to say Lima because we're 92.3
right.
The Fan. Keep going.
At second, Jordana Brewster at first base. Hannah Davis is the pitcher. Minka Kelly's the catcher. The DH is Tyra Banks.
I mean, it's insane.
Good for him.
But here's the thing. Have you ever heard one Derek Jeter cheated on me story?
No.
I haven't seen one. And that, to me, about Bauer's rules.
Yep.
And there are things I disagree, and I think he's too upfront, and I think there's a time and place, and there's courtesy, and there's plenty that I'll be critical of Trevor Bauer now and forever. This isn't one of those things.
You want to know why people are offended? Because he spoke the unspoken truth, okay? What he said, it comes off as very crude, crass, impersonal, but that's what dating is today. Honestly, that is what it's dating today is all about, the bigger, better deal. There's very little loyalty in dating today. It's very impersonal. It's swipe left or swipe right. I think I have like the Guinness Book of World Records as fastest swipe left on me. It is so sterile, the dating process. I'm actually like basically retired. Like I've stopped. I can't do it anymore. It's like 12 rounds of boxing every day. Every first date's like a freaking job interview. The majority of them aren't really interested in me. They're just interested in what I do for a living and can I hook them up with tickets, money, or players.
Really?
Yes. Huh. I women are not shy about asking for money.
All right, you want to hook up with players? Daryl Ryder's number is... No, I'm just kidding.
Seriously, this within the last 3 weeks, I had a woman tell me I waste so much time on men. I charge $150 to meet for dinner and drinks. If I like you, I will allow you to buy me dinner. If I really like you, whatever happens, happens. But that's just one girl. Another girl for dinner was
where are
like,
you meeting these women?
Bumble.
Maybe we need to reevaluate your Bumble usage.
Yeah, apparently. Because they have to message me first. I'm not messaging them first.
Yeah. That is Bumble, right? Okay. I've never used Bumble. I'm not
right.
going to.
So, it's very sterile. It's very impersonal. It's all about the bigger, better deal.
Mm-hmm.
And so Trevor spoke the unspoken truth about dating. Okay.
And I will say this, because I got news for you.
Both men and women are dating people and they're sleeping with other people at the same time.
And I'll say this. I think that I don't think it's a large group of people that was offended. I think maybe they were caught off guard.
It's the vocal minority.
And then they realize, oh, well, that's not that crazy. He's just saying he's not wanting a commitment.
He said out loud.
By the way, has a woman ever told you that? I've heard plenty of women do that. Like, to your point. It's not just men.
Dude,
I've had women say, oh, yeah, I'm just, looking to hang out, have fun, date around.
Yeah,
like, and that's fine.
Absolutely. I've run into that. And then, like,
have you, Daryl?
6, 7, 8 dates down the line, they tell me, oh, I hope you don't mind that I'm married. Yeah, actually, I do.
Woo. Yeah. That's a different
story. Okay, so the infidelity is rampant because it's so easily accessible now. It's right on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
Swipe left on this one, swipe right on that one. Mm-hmm. Like I've had enough of it. I can't deal with it, but I have really no issue with what Trevor Bauer said. He's being honest. He's just saying, "Hey, I sleep with a lot of Listen, he lives the stereotypical life of a pro athlete. Okay? And I have always said about pro athletes, they should never get married until they're toward the end of their careers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
That's fair.
I know there are athletes that they have a woman in every city that they travel to.
And there are some, though, that it worked for them from the beginning.
And
they got married at 22 and they are happy and they have 18 kids.
And I know dudes that are in relationships or married that fly in women from other cities.
Oof.
Okay? Like this, it is the unspoken, unvarnished truth of what it's like to be in a relationship, and especially if you have a lot of money. Like, this is what guys do. Women do it too. And no one wants to talk about it. There's an actual website that, like, the bit of the website is cheating on your spouse or cheating on your partner. Like, that's there's ads on, like, television and radio for it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's just like the infidelity is like at your fingertips, and it's just it's so prevalent and so easy.
And by the way, how many?
So with Tristan, with the Kardashian and all, I never saw that as romance, or I never saw that as, you know, whatever. Just because of all the nonsense that's around that relationship. How can you have a pure intimate relationship with somebody and your entire relationship's either on TMZ or is on the whatever that...
Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Whatever the... Which, yeah.
That's the thing. Tristan knew what he was getting into.
Right.
And when he started dating her a couple of years ago, it was like, oh.
You Tristan, asked for it.
No!
You got it.
Right. Don't do it.
Right.
Because come on. Like, what are you thinking?
Right. And so, with Trevor, like, he's just being honest with these women. Hey, you know what? We're not going to be in a dedicated relationship if you're okay with that. We're good. If you're not, tell me, because I'm not going to be disrespectful to you and lead you on. But that's what he said.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going to go out. We're going to have a good time. We're going to hook up, whatever. But that's what it is. So I can't hate on a guy for speaking the unspoken truth. But that's why people are upset, because he said what you're not supposed to
say. What's the stereotypical thing, especially that males do? Joey from Friends comes to mind as a character, character.
You're single, you're living the bachelor life.
You sleep around
everyone.
And you never call the girl back.
Right.
You never call the woman back. Like, that's what Joey was known for on Friends, and I'm sure everybody's seen Friends.
Ghost, basically the old-fashioned ghosting.
Yeah, exactly. And so Bauer's doing the opposite. Hey, this is it. This is what you're doing. By the way... Women,
and trust me,
women
I'm sure
probably
he has,
appreciate that.
And I'm telling you right now, I'm sure Trevor Bauer is having no problems.
No. But women probably appreciate
right
that, because how many of them, the last thing they want is to think it's leading somewhere and then it not. This way, they know what they're getting into. And by the way, I really believe in rule number one. If he thinks the woman's catching feelings, he's like, we got to move on. Like, I think he would cut it off the moment he thinks it's anything else besides a sexual / have fun relationship. I really do. I think he's that upfront.
Good for him.
And so, to me, I'd rather praise that than say, oh, Tristan cheated. He's not married.
By the way,
to our
figuring
Kardashian.
Out the other thing too, like figuring out if they've caught feelings is also like a nightmare in and of itself. Like, I'd be like, oh, you know.
All right, let's dive into this.
I'd be
let's
like,
story time with Daryl.
No.
Yeah. I need three. You said you had three examples.
Three. I got like three. I could write a book on what it's like today. All right.
So these are your dating stories you could tell on the podcast that stand out the most.
Yeah.
Go.
All right. I've been on one where I'm a very casual guy. I'm not rich. I'm not wealthy. I don't pretend to be anything that I'm not.
He's a liar. He's rich.
I'm not. I'm lucky the mortgage gets paid every month and the
money.
Gas is still on. But so I dress nice, but I'm very casual. Like I for a first date, I'm not dressing up in a suit, and I'm not taking you to a fine steakhouse.
I don't blame you. I would probably wear a t-shirt on a date. Go ahead.
So, but I'll do a real nice button down shirt, real nice pair of jeans. I don't wear tennis shoes unless it's snowing outside, and then I will, just so I don't land on my ass on my way to meet somebody. And true story, get there, meet for drinks. She asked me a question. First sentence into my response, she starts a question with the bartender. Okay. She asked me another question. Mid first sentence into my response, she starts talking to the dude next to me. So after like the fourth time, I just like look at her. I'm like, I give her the WTF look. And she goes, you seem upset. I'm like, I'm not used to someone just starting a random conversation while I'm in mid-response with somebody else. Oh, I'm a people person. I love people, whatever. And then like 2 minutes later, she's shredding how I dressed for the date.
Shredding?
Completely shredding. Your shirt is awful. Your jeans are awful. you, I can tell you went to the clearance rack. The best part is,
what?
So I get done with the first round. And I'm like, she thinks I'm into her too. That's the other part of this, I think. So I'm like, I got to wrap this up. I got stuff to do. She orders another round. And I'm just like, eject, eject, eject. I got to get out of this, right? I can't do it. So after the second drink, I really got to go. I know 11 o'clock is not late because I usually go to bed at like 2 a.m. But you
realized it wasn't going anywhere.
It wasn't going anywhere, and I needed to get the hell out of there. So I played the, it's getting late, I got crap to do, let's go. So she happened to live in the neighborhood where we met up. So I was a gentleman. I walked her to her door because, don't let a woman walk back to her place herself.
Such a nice guy. After she shredded your wardrobe.
Right. So she and she's like standing there, and I can't tell what she wants. I'm like, I'm trying everything to get. I'm like, hey, it's great meeting you. Thanks so much for a great time. Like, I'm just lying through my teeth, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just to get so I can get back to my car and go. So I get out of it somehow.
Oh, okay.
I do. I get out of it because she lets her dog out. She wants me to pet her dog. And I'm just like, she's obviously not getting the hint. Like, you've insulted me. You don't really seem all that interested in me.
But you're wasting my time.
Yeah. Right. And you wasted my money because I had to pick up the tab.
Ugh.
So she texts me as I'm driving. I didn't look because I don't text and drive. So I figured she texted me. I heard my phone, vibrate, whatever. So I get home. I look at wish you would have come in for a nightcap. Da da da. I'm like, I appreciate it. I got home safe. It was icy and all that stuff. Whatever. Did not call her back. Deleted the number. Done. Just no. Number two worst one.
So she was into you.
I don't know. I
don't
know.
That's weird. Go ahead. Keep going.
I have no idea, but I just. Yeah, I know.
Maybe she knew you were famous at 92.3 The Fan.
She wanted me to buy a whole new wardrobe and all this stuff. Yeah, not happening.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. She's like, I'm going to take you shopping. I mean, you're going to, obviously, I'm going to show you what to buy. Like, she's not going to buy it. Like,
wow.
I'm going to show you what to buy.
First date.
Yes. Second.
I get thinking, like, deep, I'm not digging his shirt or I'm not digging his jeans.
She just came out and said
Yeah,
it.
Like... God, first
but
date.
I can tell. Like, listen, I'm not a fashion dude. I dress the way I dress. I dress for comfort, not style.
To come out and say it, and then say, "Oh, I'm going to take you to get it." Maybe she was into you. She just wanted to.
Meanwhile, well, I don't do the "you're fixing me" thing.
No, like, clearly that's what she thinks. She's a fixer.
Yeah.
All right. What's number two? What's number two?
Number two, and it's so there's so many to narrow these down. I would probably say number two is, I'm going out with this girl a couple times, and I'm thinking it's going great. She's holding my hand. Things seem to be good.
How? Interlocked?
Yeah, like I'm there, and she'll just reach you across the table and grab my hand.
Okay. All right.
I'm thinking things are good. And I went out of my financial – I was the Cleveland Indians with Frankie Lindor. I went out of my comfort zone.
Don't you dare compare the two. You'd be married to this woman with 52 kids if it was Frankie Lindor. Keep going.
No, she probably divorced me after the third. We go out a couple times and take her to a winery, took her to a fancy steakhouse, whatever, because I'm like – she really seemed like she was into me.
Mm-hmm. And you're clearly into her.
Yeah. So, and the one check was like a car payment.
Yeah.
Whew. So, yeah, no kidding. But I'm like, all right, it's worth a shot. So, 4 or 5 dates in, we're at her place. Things are going well. Next thing you know, her phone rings. She looks at her phone. Within 5 minutes, I was out the door, back in my car. She got me out of the house. Like, flip the switch. Later, go on Instagram, and see that she has a picture posted with somebody famous in town. Because I don't want people guessing or anything like that. And I'm not giving you. This is a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Okay, no big deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Next day. hey, you know, hope you had a great night with your friends. Because that was the thing. I have to go see my friends. You know, emergency with my friends. So I just text her, hey, hope you had a great night with your friends. You know, just seeing when you want to get together again. She doesn't text me back. The next day, she texts me, hey, I'm going on a trip. I'll be back in a couple of days. Oh, okay, no problem. You know, let me know when you're, you know, available, and I'll see if I'm available type thing. And, you know, we'll get together. Well, we'll talk. Then it comes the ominous, we'll talk when I get back. Never a good sign when they text, we'll talk when I get back. So she gets back. And I'm like, hey, I just want to make sure I'm not reading too much into anything here, but, you know.
Everything good? Yeah.
We good? I think we're two separate, two different people. I'm like, wait, rewind. What did I mean? Oh, we're two different people. I don't want to get into it. You're a great guy. I'd love to be friends with you. You seem like you'd be awesome. That's the other thing. Like, I always end up in the friend zone.
Was she married?
No.
She wasn't married. Okay.
But.
No, it's all right. You don't have to give any more.
Turns out she had a very elite standard of living. That there was no way I was. That's, I think, what it came down to.
Interesting.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
The worst of all time. This also was years ago.
So this is number three. This is the worst.
This is the, oh man. So similar deal. This real attractive woman. And listen, like it's usually now, like if a really super attractive woman pays me any attention, I know something's up. Like I'm extremely suspicious. I just am.
Okay.
I know the ballpark with which I'm supposed to play. I know what's in and out of my league. So this woman, completely out of my league, smoking hot. Like, I would say she's a 15 out of a 10.
Okay.
We go out a couple times, and I'm thinking, this is going really well. But when we go out, she would ask me about players. Because obviously, you know, she found out what I do, all that kind of stuff, and a lot of questions about players, and I never say anything. I don't talk crap about players or anything like that when I'm on in any social occasion. Because you never know. First of all, you never know who knows who. And secondly, I'm not out. I don't like talking about my job. When I'm on a date, like most of my dates end up being like just like this big, tell me about all the players you cover and what they're like. And can you get me tickets? And can I come to games with you? And can you introduce me to them? Because I want to hook up with them. And all right.
So what? All right, I gotcha.
Turns out that it just something seemed off. And it turned out that because like she never could hang out late at night. So, and then Cleveland's a very small town, so finding things out is not hard to do. Turns out she had made her way around a few locker rooms, I found out. Thankfully, nothing happened between us. But it would have been real bad if she and I ended up in a relationship because I would have been like a real big, I would have looked really bad.
Really?
Yeah.
That bad, huh?
Yeah. And I have to watch what I say, how I say it and all that.
Sure.
But yeah, she blazed a trail in town with a lot of athletes, and it would have been very awkward if it became public that she and I were an item.
Because then,
and I walk
you might
into
be interviewing, a, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You might be interviewing the player's ex, yeah.
Right.
Or no. Interviewing the player who...
No, not an ex. Still going strong.
Oh, that is very awkward.
Right. So, when I found all this out, I physically did not eat for like 5 days because I couldn't. Like every time I tried to eat,
what?
It wouldn't stay down. I became physically ill from the situation. It was
it's not that big of a deal.
Again, there's details that I'm leaving out.
Fair.
And when we turn off the mics, I'll tell you. But I physically could not eat for a couple days. Thank God I had someone that kind of, you know, woke me because I was a little naive, young and naive at the time.
Sure.
Okay. And yeah. And this is only the tip of the iceberg. All right. I mean, it's...
You have stories on stories.
On stories. I could write novel upon novel upon novel. And I gave you, like, the... I gave you the cleaned up, sanitized versions of stuff.
So maybe Bumble isn't the way to go.
You'll be my I retired over the weekend because I had it. I can't do it anymore. It's
or just, maybe just taking a break too.
No. I'm done. But yeah, they're gone. Like the Tinders and Bumbles are off my phone. Like I can't do it anymore. It's so impersonal. It's so, you know, and again, I realize like I'm not a very attractive guy. Oh, that the best insult that I've been given from a woman.
Mm-hmm.
You are hauntingly ugly.
What? Someone said that?
Yes. After like we're messaging back and forth, I'm like, hey, you know, would you like to get together sometime? Whatever. She's like, oh no. I was just talking to you as a joke. You were hauntingly ugly.
Like, did you laugh? I would have laughed.
I did. Listen, there's been some good burns. Like I can respect a good burn. That was a good burn. Like that was original. Like I had not heard that before. I've heard many of insult. I could do like a top 20 best rejection list like that. That would be in top five, like, because it was original, poignant, quick, succinct, to the point.
You know what you need to do?
Like it was fantastic, but it was absolutely. So yeah, the dating culture today is just so awful. It's not.
I have a solution. You ready?
Just don't do it.
No. The Daryl Ryder rules. Trevor Bauer has rules.
Oh, God, yeah.
You know how many, now seeing that, how many women are going to be interested? Oh, I'm looking for some non-commitment with Trevor. That'd be great. So that's perfect. You're going to have your own Daryl Ryder rules. Yeah. I'm not saying they're the same as Trevor Bauer's.
Yeah, no.
You're going to have your own rules. Maybe we'll make them next week.
Yeah, the first rule is will you actually show up for the date?
No,
Oh, there's been many instances
The key is, hard to get. I'm telling you.
Yeah,
Trevor Bauer I don't think any woman would be like, oh, Trevor Bauer's a good looking guy. In that profile, he said he's 22% body fat.
He is?
That's what it said in the profile.
Wow.
Because he has low T. That says that in the profile too.
Apparently not if he
Well, for the ability to shed weight or something. I'd have to go back and read it again. But
I mean
it was a good profile.
I give him credit.
In Sports Illustrated, check it out.
You know, the reason people are offended again is because he came out and said what you're not supposed to say. So you know what I'm saying?
Next week, Daryl Ryder's dating rules.
No, we are not doing that.
I love it. There's your tease for next week.
Are you writing them? Because
I can write them
if you want. Go for it. But I'm not. I'm retired. I've had enough. It's like 12 rounds of boxing. Like it's not even fun to meet. Like you know, because it used to be like you get excited to meet someone because you think. Now it's just like, all right, let's get this over with and see. It's not fun.
Daryl might be retired. We aren't. We are going to take a break, as in stop this podcast, end this podcast. But we're not retiring the podcast.
No, I guess that's my point.
We're back next week, and we'll talk baseball. We'll talk Cavs. We'll talk Indians.
Maybe Bryce Harper will be signed by then.
I think he will. I almost got there. We almost got there with Machado and no Harper deal. Remember last week you mentioned that?
What is Harper getting?
Oh, 335
over 10?
Yep. I think he's going to break the record.
I'm telling you.
The Phillies.
Frankie's going to go
35
to 40.
For Daryl Ryder, you can follow him on Twitter, at RyderWrongFan. I'm at James Rapine. Please subscribe. That's Rapien, by the way. Please subscribe. iTunes, Google Play,
Can
Stitcher.
Can you spell my name?
And 923thefan.com, RUITER.
Wow.
Boom.
Boom, he says.
Until next time, thank you for listening to the Cleveland Sports Beat Podcast.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.